Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Because the family of fear and the offspring of that is what we're talking about, people that live depressed.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
The book of Psalms is the language of the soul, and the highs to the lows, and the mixture of all of those. And that's why we're going over the series on the area of living by faith, because that is a challenge to live by faith over our feelings. How many of you have feelings? Okay, good. And I'm glad we have one thing in common, because our feelings can really go to the heights and the depths. And the danger is for our own world in their little roller coaster of life that the world encourages that. Keep getting on a roller coaster and get the fastest, longest, highest, and deal with the abyss, but you're going to come out and you want to get another higher one. And there are people that live their life that way. Their whole life is characterized by driven under feelings. And the world will offer that to you. Now, in the economy in which the Jews were writing the Psalms, there were people that had their life living the same way. And if you have never come to a point, as the Bible calls the darkness of the soul, then you've never been experiencing life, because you all, as we all will, go through those dark times of shooting out of some euphoric sense of situations of life and coming down into that tunnel and wondering, are you ever going to come out? And that's why I selected Psalms 42, because this is the heart that's revealed of the psalmist. And I'd like to very simply take it, because it really does express the area of we would know as clinical, what people would call clinical depression. But I want to term it in light of what D. Martin Lloyd-Jones put a book out years ago called Spiritual Depression. And I don't mean to go quickly through this, but I would like to be able to unfold for you as the psalmist very clearly walks through this area of depression. Because depression is, I see it, is not always a sin, but a symptom. With over 1 in 20 of us afflicted by this ailment, we're all touched by its effects. Now, how does it end up influencing us? In the book of Psalms, it reveals, I think, to see the psalmist's causes basically of spiritual depression. He walks through the first 4 verses, these 3 causes that for this psalmist added to and gave towards his own spiritual depression. Notice very simply, there was unfulfilled plans. He expressed it this way in the simile of a deer panting after the water brooks. He was so thirsty that he was unfulfilled in what his thirst drove him to, that ultimately wanted to get to the stream of God and have that thirst quenched. He wasn't just talking about that unfulfilled plans, but notice he was also having an unrelieved sorrow, and the sorrow was overwhelming and it seemed unrelieved at that time. He was being pressed by people. He said it again in verse 4, when I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. I had gone with the multitude. He said, I went up with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. But there were people that were pressing him for the profession of his God. And there were people that were not happy that he was trying to serve God. He had family. He had friends. It was at work. It was his home. It was his whole village that was so pressing him. They had this overwhelming sense in which my plans are unfulfilled, that's unrelieved in the sorrows. And thirdly, you end up finding him as well in verse 5, those unanswered questions that continually, repetitively was stated. And that depression that restricts their vision to the point where it's difficult to even see beyond himself and his own problems. And I think it reveals the fact that there are people today as well that, just as the psalmist, that ended up having great struggles and difficulty and mood swings in which people were saying, what do I do? How do I handle all this? And thankfully, you go to scriptures and you will find that the answers are there. That's description. That's the heart cry of a person. When you step back from scripture, you realize there are lots of others that went through same similar difficulties and struggles. There are common causes to this, and there are factors that add on top of why some people have a deeper issue for this than others. Fact is, let me expand this a little bit, because we don't have time to go through all the Bible examples, but I think it's important to note the Bible does reveal other men. I'm thinking of Moses, I think of Elijah, I think of Jonah. All of these men went through same, similar, great struggles. How did they overcome it? And really, what added to their own life that caused them to get to that point? I think the same things that you'll end up finding today. Let me expand this and give to you what I see to be factors that add into why a person deals with the area of depression. Let's just pick the life of Moses. And you could pick any of these, but let me pick Moses. You got Elijah, you got Jonah. Let's pick Moses, for example. The same causes, one of those would be physically exhausted. When you find a person that is physically exhausted, you're going to end up finding that Christian that is going to struggle even more so with this area of depression. You ought to put a cross-reference to this. Many times it's just circumstantial. The schedules are driving and responsibilities carry a person to get so weary. Moses was driven by his responsibilities to the point that he found himself physically exhausted. His own father-in-law in Numbers 21, you end up finding the children of Israel were much discouraged because of the way and all of their circumstances. There were so many things going on that they were just physically exhausted. Galatians 6:9, the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. The New Testament identifies, evidently, there were Christians in the New Testament as well. They were weary. The whole circumstances were led that way. You also find as well, not just circumstantial as far as that physically exhausted, but you also find the temperament itself. You'll find some people, by virtue of their own physical being, their whole temperament is just given over to people that have propensity, and a greater propensity, of being a little bit negative and depressed. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book, expands this. I wish I could read you a whole chapter on this, and we don't have time to do it, but I think he really touches on something that's worth recognizing, that in the whole area of temperaments, and there are books that have been written about this, including one, Spiritual Temperaments, by Dr. LaHaye, pre-Left Behind series fame. But actually, LaHaye identified four basic types of temperaments. Are you familiar with this? The phlegmatic, the sanguine, the melancholic, and the choleric, I think, are the four that have been pretty well publicized. Actually, LaHaye knew that the ancients, way back in the days of Greece, had doctors that believed that there were bodily fluids sloshing around inside of you, and those different bodily fluids that actually dictated your own temperament. He took that and put that into the book called Spiritual Controlled Temperaments. In other words, and I would agree with the premise, the Spirit of God should dictate and control your own temperament. But there are people that are given over a little bit more towards the negative, a little bit more towards times in which, whether that's hormonally driven, whether that's medicinally added to that, when people get themselves in a place that they have a tendency to get themselves into a funk. I don't know if that's in the dictionary, but that's a pretty good, simple term. You find people that way. It's like, hey, isn't this great? Look at the sunshine today. Yeah, but you know that cloud right over there? That thing might come this way. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to get rain. Really? Have you ever met people that way? Their whole temperament is given that way. I like what D. Martin Lloyd-Jones says. I think it is true. When you end up getting saved, the Spirit of God indwells you, and your spirit now forever is headed to heaven. But it does not mean that your temperament will initially, immediately change. And therefore, that's why when you say, well, man, you know this person, he says he's a Christian. And he might be a Christian. But it might be that his whole temperament itself needs to move forward, as the psalmist needed to recognize their solutions to why that person should not dictate and have his background. Sometimes it's the background of a person that lends himself that way. So physically, when a person gets himself exhausted, just as Moses was, to the point in which he was living with expectations of people that he could not end up providing everything they needed, and drove him to being physically exhausted. Number two, you also will find in people that are emotionally drained. Elijah was that way. He found himself in battles where he was now being pressured by leadership of that day, by a woman queen that gave himself so much he was emotionally drained. He was lonely. That point in which he sat under that juniper tree and he's ready to give up his life emotionally, was nothing left. Many times, by the way, that being emotionally drained follows spiritual experiences, things that come on that God puts into our life that are beneficial times, and yet right after that seems the bottom drops out about it. By the way, let me insert here, some of you are having no bent toward this at all. Your tendency and propensity is pretty well flatlined. You pretty much just, your car is parked right on the incline and nothing ever changes. You have to understand that when you have people that do live a life more driven by their feelings, particularly as a Christian, they don't need a person's scorn and shame and mocking. You know what they need? They need a person to come alongside of them, just as the psalmist was crying out, for people to be able to love and appreciate them. And that's why the emotionally drained sense, just as Elijah was, also, besides the physically exhausted, and lastly, and I think as importantly as any of this, is being spiritually run down. Because that spiritually run down condition, people get to the place then where they really don't have any other energy. Charles Spurgeon himself, a great Baptist preacher, and probably well as well known as anyone, said at points and bouts of his own times of spiritual oppression, he said, quote, "I could weep by the hour like a child, and yet I knew not what I wept for." There were physical reasons for him, by the way, because he had gout and dealt with gout, and the medicines that came off of that created great deep depressions by a very godly man. I think also with that spiritually run down, what adds to that is satanic influence. You end up having people that spiritually going through great struggles and difficulties, even as Job, talking about unanswered questions earlier, who asked all kinds of questions. And you look through the book of Job, listen, he never got an answer. Never got an answer to why he went through this. Ultimately, we saw Jesus, he did. But understand that, as one person said, listen, you know what Satan will do to you as a Christian? If you were sinking in quicksand, he'd come by and pat you on the head. Hey, you know what? There are times in which you are going to have great moments in which you need help. Satan's not going to come lying and help you. It's stated in the New Testament this way, spirit of bondage. As Romans 8, 15 to 17, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Because the family of fear and the offspring of that is what we're talking about, people that live depressed. There's a sense in which there's no hope. And they've not received the spirit of adoption. But he's saying, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. People are dying and longing for someone to come alongside. I care about you.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.